Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, worship team. What a privilege it is to be together on Good Friday and to be able to worship even though we're not here. I mentioned to Lori this morning, I think the weight of not being able to gather is weighing heavier on me with each Sunday, and perhaps, although this may surprise you, most heavy on Good Friday. For today, we set aside time to worship and to remember and to celebrate, and you might with me wonder, how do you celebrate something that is so horrific? The most painful way possible to die. The death of the only innocent man who has ever lived. And the answer is, this is the peak of love. For Jesus Christ our Lord paid the penalty for sin, took upon himself the wrath of God, and in that allowed us through faith in him to be forgiven and free and have a relationship with him. The death and coming resurrection, Sunday is coming, of Jesus in our place is something we should never forget. In fact, it should really help us live our lives fully and completely devoted to him. And yet, so often we forget. So often we don't live in full devotion to him. So often we don't find the freedom in our lives from anxiety and hurt and pain. Instead, we live our lives as though this is a secondary thing. And today, we remember and declare it is not. It is all defining. We don't like to think about death as a culture. In fact, I would say up until this pandemic, for most of my ministry life, we try to remove death from our sight. We want, if you wanted to put this in a food sort of sense, the hamburger without thinking about the death of the cow. We want the privilege of aging without thinking about where that leads. We have seen all of that change. Now, every day I find reports as I wake up and turn on the news or look at my phone and the news that is coming in there, the amount of deaths that have occurred from the pandemic, and we know that there are many, 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 many more occurring that aren't directly from this coronavirus, but are from other things. I think one of the benefits of the horror of what we are going through is that it is forcing us to think again about the things that matter the most. We have had simple entertainment removed, and we have had all sorts of other things that were real and powerful for us now put on hold, and what we had thought was certain now uncertain, what we had thought normal now seems something far distant from our daily experiences. Well, 40 or 50 years ago, evangelism was really centered around two questions. Billy Graham used these, so many others. Evangelism explosion was where they came from, and they've gone out of vogue, I think mostly because most people don't think about these things anymore, and yet I think now, with the pandemic, worth asking again. Here's the two questions. Have you come to a place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would be able to go to heaven, that you'd be able to get into the place where God is of perfection? Or question number two, suppose you were to die today and stand before God and he were to say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say? Well, I think those questions were difficult 50 years ago to answer. Now many would say, "Well, I'm a pretty good person." Or would say, "I don't want to think about that yet," or might just feel it's stress and anxiety and religion, and we're here this morning to tell you it is not. It is about Jesus and relationship with him. I think one of the greatest riches of being a shepherd of people who love Jesus is to be able to participate in memorial services, because they remind us to live well and they remind us to be ready for death. And this today is the greatest memorial service we could ever have or celebrate or remember. And so we have gathered this Good Friday to remember, and to remember our own mortality and how to prepare for death that is coming. I personally would prefer not to think about death for myself or those that I love. I went to a website when I was preparing this, and they have what's called a death clock. And I went on there, and the death clock predicted I would die on July 3rd, 2039. It's not very far away. Then it said, and this is a little while ago that I did this, I have 610,363,144,000 seconds to live. That's not very much. In fact, the Bible compares our life to a breath, and I think now we are becoming more aware of that. And so here is the question for this Good Friday for us. Are you ready to die? Rick Holland, a pastor that I enjoy, said this: if we are ready to live, it will come from being ready to die. And I think that is true. And so for us today, three important facts of life. In fact, we could say the three most important facts about life, and they're found in Hebrews chapter 9. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, Hebrews 9, really the whole book of Hebrews, is about the greatness of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And Hebrews chapter 9 displays the beauty of the cross, or this high priest Jesus, this sacrifice once for all, the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. It's so rich, so profound, and I believe today can be life-changing if you will listen to it with me and then apply it to your lives. Verse 26, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly, comparing him to the Old Testament sacrifices and the foundation of the world, but he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now here's the verses we're going to focus on. Hebrews 9:27. Open Bibles, pens in hand, I would suggest. Underline these verses: powerful, profound, life-changing. And just as is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. From these verses, I want to point out three of the greatest facts for us to be aware of and respond to and prepare for in our own hearts. Fact number one, I suppose this is obvious, but so often we forget, death is inevitable. Death is inevitable. Listen again to verse 27. Just as it is appointed for man to die once. Every human, man here, generic for humans, males and females, every human has an appointment with death. God, in his sovereignty, in his plan, Psalm 139, other places that show us this, there is a death plan for every human. If Jesus chooses not to return, it's hinted at here in this passage, then every person listening to this message will die. Death is inevitable. In fact, I don't know if you've ever considered this, but you are among the only generation in all of history who has not yet tasted death. There are two exceptions, Elijah and Enoch. But every person listening to this, if Jesus does not return, needs to understand death is inevitable. Death is a consequence of sin. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, what you earn when you sin, doing anything that misses the mark of what God commands or misses the mark of what should be done. It's a negative and a positive. Sin is what falls short of his glory, meaning you choose things that are negative, or you don't choose what is best and right, and all of us fall short of his glory. The wages of sin is death. That means that all of us are experiencing those wages both in Adam and in our own choices, in our own lives, and in the communities we live in. We know this. People we love have died. People we love will die. And the stats, given the current pandemic, make this all the more on the front news. But it's not new. Death is inevitable. Secondly, in this precious few verses, death leads to judgment. Notice again, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, it's an appointment, you will die once. After that comes judgment. After that, very simple, yet difficult. We will all be judged for what we have done in the flesh as humans. We'll all be judged for what we have done as humans. And if the Bible is true and right, and it is, then that judgment will mean that we will spend eternity separated from God in hell. Unless we accept the reality, we believe in the reality that Jesus has paid the price for us. Death leads to judgment. Listen to how John 3, 16 and 17 declares this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not die, but have eternal life. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Saved from what? Saved from death, separation from God, condemnation from God, eternity in hell. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Or 2 Thessalonians outlines this as well. The evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with afflictions those who afflict you, to grant relief to you, those who have afflicted you as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus, now focus in, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Now, I just want to do a full stop and say, you can't have salvation without understanding condemnation. There is no true heaven without an understanding of what we're being saved from. Now, notice the conditions for being saved. It's not how good you are. You can't be good enough. John 3, it's belief. Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In 2 Thessalonians, it's knowing God or having this obedience to the gospel. Well, what's the gospel? It's good news. It's actually affirming in your heart and mind that you're a sinner, that Jesus will either make you pay as judge when he comes again, or pay for you now if you believe in him. Is there any wonder why, as we come to this third fact of life, that this day today, Good Friday, is called good even though we're celebrating the most painful death of the only innocent man who has ever lived? Death is inevitable. Death leads to judgment. Fact number three, and in this, we should shout in joy in our homes and wherever we are. Death has been defeated. Listen again to God's word. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. To bear the sins of many will appear a second time. He's coming again, but the reality we focus on today, this Good Friday, is that Jesus paid the penalty in full in his death on the cross for my sins, if I will but trust in him. Here's the amazing story of Good Friday. Jesus has paid the penalty for the sins of many. What's the word many here? It's important. It's only those who respond in faith that will spend eternity forgiven and in fellowship with him. Jesus died in the place of those who will believe, of those, if you go to the Thessalonian passage, of those who will eagerly await for him. It's this idea of relationship, forgiveness, and freedom, and intimacy with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Good Friday, we celebrate that he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the very righteousness of God. Oh, that we would hear this if we don't know him. So that today would be the day we place our faith in him as Lord and Savior. Oh, that we would hear this if we're religious and we're raised in the church but don't have a full devotion to him. And today we would say with open hands, I am all yours. I am bought with a price. Oh, that we would hear this if we're all in to be reminded that there is no sacrifice too great to live to the glory of the praise of our Savior. Death is inevitable. Death leads to judgment. Death has been defeated. How do we apply this on a Friday? Knowing that Sunday is coming, and I have two places I want to stop. Try to keep this simple, and yet I hope and pray life-changing. We've been discussing during this pandemic the heartache of not meeting, and yet the impact that seems to be so wide. So I know that some of you watching probably have never darkened the door of a church. Some of you are committed church members and goers but don't know Jesus, and others are longing for his return with all of your might and driven and defined by your relationship with him. But here's the first question for all of those people. Are you ready? If you were to die today and God was to meet you at the gate of heaven and say, why should I let you in? Or if we were to ask, if you die today, would you be confident that you would get to heaven? You can be, and you can answer yes, because Jesus died in my place. I love how Jesus interacted with this precious lady in the Bible, Martha, after her brother had died. He says this. This is John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Oh, Cloverdale Baptist Church and all who have joined us online, I pray and I hope that your answer is, yes, Lord, I believe. For we know that death is inevitable and death leads to judgment. And death has been defeated. I believe I'm a sinner, that God is holy, hates sin, is just and right, and will punish sin either on Jesus or on me for all eternity. And Jesus, in paying that price, now turns and is saying to you, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you ready? Are you ready? Secondly, are you radical? It's a David Platt word. We use it once in a while here. Really, all we mean is not radical as it's used in some religions, but are you willing to say, my relationship with Jesus drives and defines my whole life? Are you willing to step back and say, I love him with all that I am and all that I have? The gospel's a treasure that costs us nothing but demands everything. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, he must deny himself daily, take up his cross and follow me. This is Good Friday. Oh, there's so much going on around us that reminds us of the reality of what the Bible teaches. And although I hate the coronavirus, I do believe that we have an opportunity in the sovereign plan of God to show our own hearts and all who will listen that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus is the only Savior. And through faith in him, you can have hope and purpose, forgiveness and freedom, fellowship and full devotion. Oh, that today in this empty room and yet unified hearts in homes, we would exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the risen Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for each home that is represented, for those families and individuals that are gathered. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege of studying your word, of hearing what you have to say for us, and even in the midst of a pandemic, of remembering this is not surprising. In fact, this points us to our Savior, and may we be those who are ready to live because we are ready to die, those who carry this message of salvation to our communities and neighborhoods, because great is the gospel, the message of hope, and the plan of eternal life. God, work in your people from Cloverdale Baptist Church. Work through your people. Bring a renewal of first love devotion to each of us, and then an overflow of that, a delight in you that is displayed in the midst of a pandemic, so that your person is lifted up and your praise an overflow of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.